Good morning. Welcome to our program, The Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program. We hope that you'll be a regular listener. At the end of our broadcast, you will be given the times of our services. We cordially invite you to any of these services. You will always receive a warm welcome. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, the wise man Solomon wrote, "Buy the truth, do not sell it. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding." After certain Jews had believed on him, Jesus made the statement in John 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Since all scripture is inspired, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 16, and since God cannot lie, according to passages like Hebrews 6:18 and Titus 1:2, all these things add up to one conclusion. The Bible is divine truth. Jesus, in his prayer in the garden, said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth," John 17:17. The word of God is the mind of God revealed unto man, we can read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, consisting of all truth, according to passages like 2 Peter 1, verse 3, that tells us that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jude 3 tells us that it was once delivered to the saints, once meaning one time for all time. What if man does not agree with God? He is a liar, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Since this is true, would it ever be wise to oppose what the Bible says? Would you argue with God? Hopefully, we would see the futility in such a decision. In most areas, men delight in the truth. The chemist, to get the required results, must have truth concerning the elements that are involved. Before a doctor prescribes medicine to a patient, he needs to know the nature of your illness. If you have medicines that will have an adverse reaction if you take them. If you go to a car or a mechanic, and he's working on your car, before he orders any parts, he first seeks to learn the truth about what's wrong with the automobile and what's causing the problem, that he might find the right diagnosis to fix it. Do you think you want to know the truth? When one goes into a court of law, what is the jury interested in before giving a verdict? The judge before passing the sentence. They want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You see, truth is something that we insist upon in many other areas of our life. When I ask a question, I want the truth. I want you to tell me the truth. Since truth is so important in all these physical areas, it must be even more important in the spiritual arena, concerning the welfare of one's soul. If one desires to go to heaven, to please God, then they must absolutely have the truth. Yet do all men really want the truth in the spiritual realm? I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning about giving me the truth. Dear listener, I want to give you the truth, and I want you to give me the truth, whether I like it or whether I don't like it. Truth is not determined by popularity. We have been told the truth hurts. Yes, sometimes it does. Some things I may not be aware of. Truth does not change because someone may not like it. The rich young ruler did not like it when he came to Jesus and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You can see this, read this exchange in Matthew 19, verse 17 through 22. He told him that the stumbling block that was keeping him from really having true riches was that he trusted in his riches. And he was told to sell all that he had and to follow Jesus. But if you read the account, it says that he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. You see, he trusted his riches more than he really wanted the truth. Who could have gave him a better answer? He went to the Son of God. He got the vital truth and the answer to the greatest question, and one that all men need to seek the answer to: what to do to inherit eternal life. What better person to go to than the Son of God, when he got the answer, he walked away. Why? Because he did not want to do what the answer called upon him to do. The chief priests and the elders asked Jesus concerning his authority. In Matthew 21, beginning in verse 23 through 27. But he said he would tell them if they would answer a question for him. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from men? And as they pondered that among themselves, they knew that either way that they answered it, it would put them in a predicament. You see, they really didn't want the truth. They wanted to understand it the way that they perceived it. But when Jesus was going to tell them the truth, that he spoke by the word of his Father, and that he was the Son of God, they didn't want to hear that. You see, they really didn't want an answer to his question. They wanted to simply entrap him. When Paul stood before the council on defense of his life, he told them the truth. They struck him. They ridiculed him. They even tried to put him to death. Yet, that did not change the truth of his statement. That did not change any truth that Paul said. If one asks a question on a spiritual matter, does it depend whether or not he likes God's answer before I give it to him? Dear listener, I've been asked many, many times, what must I do to gain eternal life? What must I do to be saved? And yet, when I show them in the Bible what God's answer to that question is, they become angry and they don't like it. Yet, dear listener, let me assure you, that does not change the answer. One may not like it. One may get angry, but that does not change truth. And that leads to the second point. Give me the truth whether I obeyed or not. When Jesus came into his own and they received him not, did he change his message? Did he try to soften it a little? Did he try to accommodate their thinking? No, he kept on preaching the truth. Did he just give in to them? No. When some of the disciples left him because his message was too hard, according to John chapter 6, verse 60 through 66, many of his disciples left and followed him no more. Did he change the message? Did he soften it? Did he try to take a different tack? No, he kept on preaching the truth. When Paul stood before Felix and Agrippa, did he worry about what they would do? No, he simply told them the truth. He let them make the decision. But whether they obeyed it or not, that was their decision. That didn't change what Paul was going to say. Many of the rulers did not obey, but they believed. Should the truth have been withheld since they would not obey it because of others? John chapter 12, 42 and 43 tells us they love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. We are spiritual farmers. We just plant seed, and we let God give the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8. It's a personal choice what we do with the truth. Don't worry about the response. Just give them the truth. Could it be that we worry too much about whether or not they will obey it? Dear friend, I can only tell you the truth. I can't make application in your life. I can't make you obey it or disobey it. That is a free will choice that God gives every man. My responsibility begins and ends with telling you the truth. Well, what if the truth makes you angry? Truths usually get some sort of reaction. Many get angry. They ask the question. You tell them the truth and they get mad. What's the deal? Didn't they want the truth to begin with? Naaman got angry at the words of Elisha when he was told in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, to just go dip in the Jordan 7 times, and then he would come out cleansed. But when he was told that, he became angry. Let me ask you a question. He got angry, but did he leave a leper? He left a leper. But when a servant convinced him to do what Elisha had told him to do, then he came out cleansed. You see, Naaman's anger didn't clear his leprosy up. He had to obey what God said. The Jews did not like the truth that Stephen preached to them in Acts chapter 7. He just gave them a history lesson of how they had rebuffed, their forefathers had rebuffed the prophets, and that these Jews were doing the same with the prophets that God was sending them today and the truth that they were receiving, they had the same stubborn rebelliousness in their actions. They got angry. They even got angry enough to kill him. But dear listener, that didn't change one word of truth that Stephen spoke. The truth was still the truth. What about John the Baptist? The fathers, the prophets, even Jesus himself. All men got angry at the things they heard. Did it change one truth that they were taught? None. This problem is still very real today, even in the body of Christ. Some don't like to hear the truth. They do not agree with it, and they don't want to hear it. What if they become angry? The divine truth cannot be altered. It can't be watered down. It can't be compromised, regardless of how angry they get. Feeling good about the truth is not my obligation. When Paul spoke the truth, people reacted, some positively, some negatively. But let me tell you something, friend. That's the way the truth will always be received, positively or negatively. But whether or not you get angry doesn't change what the truth says. And last, I want you to tell me the truth, even if it costs me my job, my friends, or my life. Many of God's prophets lost their lives because they told His truth. Some lost family. Some lost friends. Some lost the comforts of life for the truth's sake. Stephen and James lost their lives, Acts 7 and Acts 12. Paul spoke the truth to his brethren and the Jews he once was chief among, and it cost him dearly. Read 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. Jesus went about doing good in Acts 10, 38, healing, teaching, and loving all men, seeking to seek and save that which was lost, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Yet his enemies would nail him to a cross and to take his life. Christ warned us in his word that our enemies would come from our own household in Matthew 10, 34 through 37. Listen, truth can never be compromised, no matter what the cost is involved. Some have changed their teaching on truth because it involves family. Some preachers go soft because of their friends and start teaching error. Truth is the only thing that is vital that can save the soul, according to Romans 1, verse 16. James 1, verse 21, and Hebrews 4, and verse 12. Friendship, family, life, and even a job are temporal. Truth is eternal. It can never, ever be compromised in any situation. Let me put it as very plainly and simply as I can, that you have no misunderstanding. Give me the truth, regardless of the cost and regardless of the consequences. Nothing else is able to save the soul from eternal destruction. Nothing can edify and encourage the Christian than truth. Why do so many hate the truth today? Because they don't want to obey it. Dear listener, if you tune into this radio station every Sunday morning, I promise to the best of my ability that I will tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I will support every conclusion that I reach with a book, with a chapter, and a verse. I will give you the truth, even if it makes you angry, even if you think it's negative, even if you don't like it, and even if you quit listening. I can't change the truth, nor should I, if I want to help you gain heaven as your eternal home. Do you want the truth, or do you want compromise? You have to answer that question. Thank you for